You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Welcome to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle. Hello and welcome back to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast. With me is my good buddy Alex. How you doing today, Alex?
Doing great, man. Ready for Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Scott, and to everybody out there. You know, it's going to be, so we got a lot to be grateful for this year.
I'm in sort of on the negative side right now, so I will try not to bring everyone all down about football when we get to football, but there's a good reason for it. So, you know, obviously COVID is the reason for a lot of negativity in 2020, and rightly so. And, you know, we've been a fairly responsible family here in Southern California. It doesn't mean that we've been holed up in the house the whole time. We're not doing things like going to the gym and shopping and the beach and stuff like that. But when we do, we're careful and responsible, and we wear masks and we wash our hands a lot. And, you know, we try to keep the social distancing and everything to protect our own family. Well, I didn't want to mention it in the podcast because we still had a little hope at that time, but just a little bit over a week ago, my wife's father and his stepmother, both... Her stepmother, right. Mm-hmm. Both who live in Michigan now. They just recently moved from Tucson to Michigan, and were getting ready to move into a house that they bought, came down with COVID. They're not sure how they got it. For her, who she's quite a bit younger than he was, it was like a bad cold. And though she tested positive and had some symptoms, got through it without any problem. He ended up being severely affected by it, and he died just before football started on Sunday. So my family is upset. The kids have lost their grandfather. My wife is, you know, taken off work and is beside herself. And because of COVID, we won't be traveling to Michigan. There's no in-person funeral.
To go to attend the funeral, yeah.
Yeah, there's, it's all, so it's real. I know you see it on the news and you're overexposed to it, but it's hit home for us. And we've now lost one of our family members to COVID.
Condolences, buddy. And you know that I had a good chance to speak with Renee and she, you know, share some private stuff that will stay private. And of course it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy that she, like many others. And when I went through my ordeal earlier in the year, not having any loved ones around you and your departing, you know, final moments, it's difficult. And it's difficult for the ones that are sick. It's difficult for the ones that are the loved ones that are, you know, hoping that they could be there to hug them or say goodbye, just hold their hand. So it's rough, man. Very rough.
At least you had that iPad with you and you got to see my ugly face every day.
Yeah, we got, you know, I never am I going to criticize FaceTiming again. It was actually a blessing and it was fantastic. But, of course, I know your wife Renee is going through a difficult period, and big love from our family to yours and to anyone out there suffering from COVID. We all seem to be touched by this damn disease, but I think at the other side of the coin, I mean, I think, like I've said before, our society can get stronger and better, and we're going to get out of this stuff, and we're going to become a better society, and we're going to, keep going forward. That's what Americans do. We just don't take something like this and run to the corner and cuddle up. We fight and we go through it, and we become better.
Not to quote Friedrich Nietzsche or misquote him or whatever, but that which does not kill us makes us
stronger. That's right. Makes us stronger. That's right. Yeah. Hey, but
that's the positive outlook.
That's the positive. And also, but I wanted to touch quickly on Thanksgiving.
Yes. What are you doing?
Well, I have family that actually traveled in. They quarantined, and it's really cool. It's Anna and her daughter, which is like, you know, she's like a good friend of the family and almost like a sister to us. And it's just great. We grew up together in Miami, and it's just awesome. She's here. She's making black beans. So we're going to have that hybrid Thanksgiving, little Cuban ice, Cuban black beans, white rice, and yucca and stuff. And
yeah, share the menu. It's makes people hungry.
It's amazing. It's, you know, it's a turkey cooked with a lot of garlic and a lot of, you know, bitter orange, and just like the pork would be made. And we're also making a vegetarian tofu turkey. So it's really cool. We're going to have both. And it's really, really exciting to have that happen. And also, to, you know, in a day like today, you know, to be able to give thanks for everything we have. And I know this, we have to, you know, there's things that we're obviously not too happy about and sad about, but it is a beautiful holiday. And I'm grateful, very grateful that we're, you know, we get to share it, and that, you know, it's we have at least some loved ones around us. I mean, we didn't have the usual situation, but it is what it is in 2020.
Yeah. 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 I've always enjoyed the two holiday days that are kind of my holidays are Thanksgiving and Christmas, because I grew up with these big family gatherings around that, and they were enjoyable. They were
the best.
Pleasant. And then when I got into cooking as a little side thing, you know, I discovered that I had some skills around that, and have built up a menu that people really appreciate. So, I don't know, 20 years ago now, God, has it been that long? I just, you know, discovered Creole cooking and added some of that stuff into my repertoire. And so when I had my first fried turkey, I thought it was not only so much easier to cook for many different reasons, but if you do it right, the flavor is fantastic. And so I have been doing fried turkeys.
I think my cardiologist would have some issues with it, but beyond that, I'm sure it's very delicious.
Yeah, it's awesome. I have not partaken of the fried turkey myself. I still cook it for the whole family, but being, you know, a plant-based person, I barely ever touch meat in any way. So
are you going to cheat a little? Are you going to cheat a little today?
I am not.
You're not.
Well, if you consider cheese dairy,
that's okay. That's okay. You could be vegetarian, you know, today.
So,
but you're not going to sneak in a little bit of chicken breast somewhere on the way?
No, I have
a little bacon slice.
Nope, not.
okay.
So I'll give a plug to a restaurant. When I was helping my mom out back in August, I had dinner with my cousins at a restaurant in Corning, New York called The Cellar. And I was really blown away by how good it was. It was really impressive. It was quite awesome. So
good.
And I had a dish there that was supposed to be prawns and I forget what all at the moment. I'm doing a terrible job promoting this. But the core of it for vegans was, though I'm not vegan, I'm plant-based, was smoked tofu.
Oh,
and it was like hickory smoked and everything. And
wow.
So I am going to, I also, while I was there, found, I've been trying different vegan gumbo recipes, and I found one that I really liked, and I'm just going to, I cooked it exactly to the recipe while I was there, and now I'm going to make some modifications to
there
it according to the way I like things. And so I can't have a gumbo that doesn't have some of the gumbo filet in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crushed leaf. It's the sassafras leaf called gumbo filet. So, but a lot of recipes don't put it in. I'm not sure why. I think it lends a unique flavor.
I love gumbo. I love Creole cooking as a whole is fantastic.
Yeah, me too. I have some vegan sausage that are pretty good. I spent a little extra on getting some.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's some ones that are
really
like
awful,
like rubbery,
nasty ones out there.
Terrible.
And I'm going to smoke the tofu just the way that restaurant did, and I'm going to get that into this tofu recipe that I have. And so I'm gonna for myself have gumbo. Of course, everyone else is welcome to it. There's turkey. I always make this port wine cranberry sauce. That's fantastic. Some dinner rolls, and instead of the
you're making me hungry again.
Instead of the funeral potatoes that I often make this year, I have a really recipe for a three cheese mac and cheese where I use real cheese and real cream in it. And I still eat a little bit of it, so that's my one violation. But the pasta I use is a chickpea-based pasta, so you're getting some protein in there as well. And
nice.
And the kids go nuts. Everyone, there's never a leftover.
I was surprised how good these lentil pastas are, and all these are really good. We're pretty good on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it sounds fantastic, and I know we're going to have a great Thanksgiving. We've got a lot to be grateful for and a lot to be, happy for. I'm hungry as hell.
Are y'all hungry now? If you're listening on Thanksgiving when this is published, hopefully tomorrow, you're probably already stuffed, and you're like, oh, I don't want to hear about food. But if not, man.
Food, no more talk about food. So the Dolphins, man, we got, let's dive into that Denver game.
Here comes the pain.
Well, yeah, it was needed. It was one of those necessary pains, in my opinion.
I'm not sure I subscribe to needing a loss, but I understand that there can be value, things to be learned from a loss, egos to be checked. One of the things that is very real that used to annoy me about the Madden games until I really studied it and thought about it with my own experience playing and the people around me is confidence, right? And so... whenever the confidence was low in Madden, you definitely performed worse. And that used to annoy the crap out of me when I was serious about competing, in that, many years ago. So, but I've learned to read it and see it, on any team that I'm watching to some degree, not just the Dolphins. And so the one concern that I had is that the confidence was very high. But if your confidence, and that's great, because when your confidence is high as a whole, you perform better as a team. The dangerous thing about having high confidence is taking things for granted and not taking them serious enough and taking plays off or taking, things off, and then suddenly finding yourself in trouble and then flipping over into like desperate mode. And I saw a lot of that in the Denver game. So, the team did can benefit from quote unquote the wake up call, but we didn't need a loss there. We needed a win there.
We needed a win. I'm not saying that the loss was a benefit. In reality, what it was, in my opinion, sooner or later, Tua needed to have a really bad game, because the first game was like a non-event.
Yeah, he was just there. He started, was the manager.
He had a couple of really decent games.
Yes.
Yeah, the special teams. Yep. But in this game, it was Tua looking like a rookie, holding the ball too long, not making the right reads.
And
it was
missing.
Just Tua having
his
a rough day.
His accuracy was down. And the pressure was getting to him, and he got sacked six times. And yeah, so we'll go through
six
the game
times.
In a little bit of detail like we always do, because I think that's part of what makes our podcast decent to listen to, is that you get our old man perspective on certain plays and things that we see during the game that maybe other people don't see. So, or maybe you didn't see when you were watching the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, on a positive note, before we get started in the game, we were missing Wilkins, and now he is going to be back for this week's game.
Yes.
And heaven knows we needed him. Christian Wilkins was a big missing item there for our defense. And not that we were incredible against the run with him, but
that our defensive line are occupying one or more blockers so the linebackers can make plays. Honestly, the middle was not our problem in this game or even the previous game when we gave up a lot of runs. And if you noticed, one thing that we forgot to talk about, it was on our list to talk about last podcast and somehow we missed it, was Raekwon Davis's play, the rookie.
Well, he was outstanding.
Well, this
not
game,
this game,
was
last
also
game, he
rated
was great.
PFF's
he was really great.
Rookie of the week for this game too. And I'm like, how could that be possible? But if you think about it, they were not running inside the tackles.
But the week before, he was rated the number one lineman in the NFL.
Yes, and he deserved to be talked about, and we did not, and so...
We missed on that. We owe him one, because, I mean, we've been a little critical early on when he wasn't...
So here it is. Well, in the draft, too, right? There was a couple things. In the draft, there were reasons that we didn't like him looking back at his play at Alabama.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of...
Didn't like him that high.
Exactly.
As a pick, especially when we wanted a running back so bad, which, of course, we were right
about.
We
were scared that we were going to get another underachiever.
Yeah. Because
we have a
history
of getting a couple of these guys that, you know, have all this great talent, but it never really, they just never put it together. But it looks like,
but he's proving us wrong.
Thank God.
He's fantastic.
Looking great.
And this, what a great thing to be wrong about.
Oh, yes. I wish I was wrong about every draft pick we ever had.
that we complained about. Yes.
But
Teal Green and Eddie Blake and. Yeah, there were so many things that we said, what? Why did we get that guy? That's a terrible
Deion Jordan.
Pick. Yes. Oh, boy. Spending extra picks on
Avery.
Him.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Neither one of us liked
him. No.
Him.
That was not good. But, you know, he's really been paying his tail off and really doing a great job. And our defense started the game like they were going to just dominate.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about the game if we're going to talk about the game. And so right off the bat, I did not see the – Tua Tagovailoa that we watched in college, because first of all, I liked that we looked like we were going to try and stretch the field, because he threw to Grant down the left sideline, and Grant was not really open on that first ball, and he was under pressure and he overthrew him, and I'm like, yeah, it's a kind of a way to get rid of the ball, but maybe still have a little bit of a miracle type of chance, you know. And then we went back to that play again, and this time Grant had more than 5 yards on the guy covering him.
Yes.
And Tua missed him by a mile. And I said, in college, that is exactly the type of play that we fell in love with him when we said we wanted to draft Tua years ago, right? Where he would drop it right in there and that guy would go for six.
Yeah.
And he just missed him by a mile. I said, okay, something's wrong with Tua today. Because
I thought it was just a bad throw on that one. You know, he just missed him. And
well, but it continued.
I didn't know that was going to be the whole game.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah, maybe it was the rookie rough start or the altitude. Who knows, you know?
I mean, Scott, our offense produced for the entire game 223 yards.
Oh,
And 117 of that was by Fitz. So
in the very last drive of the game, when he was just taking chances with every ball he threw, you know.
Yeah, he was the last couple. Yeah, he was there for a couple of.
You know, the first ended up being a three and out, overthrowing Grant twice. The first one was not necessarily makeable, but the second one certainly was. And you know, the one thing in fairness was that he was under duress. The defense gave us that opportunity right away, and I thought, all right, this is another momentum thing. And
the interception.
Yes. So Howard got yet another interception. I mean, week after week after
He's
week.
Such a ball hawk.
God.
I mean, he is the ultimate ball hawk. And
we're paying a lot of money, and he's earning it.
It's phenomenal.
Yep. So whatever you have to say about Howard, dude. Am I a nut job now? Is that just, I don't want to get into the ESPN thing yet. I want to do it after the game, but the levels of these hot takes that seem to be like the popular thing, is that because I'm just getting old? that I get so annoyed by these things? Grumpy old man, I can't take it. These dumb, well, young whippersnappers getting all emotional over stuff that they're wrong about. Yeah, so, I mean, when we get into the whole Tua thing, that's part of what gets me so annoyed, too. So, everyone wants to be dramatic, and I think they feel like we'll get more listens and more eyeballs if we put out something that's really dramatic.
Controversial.
And controversial, and yeah. So, there's so many a-holes now out there in the public eye getting paid a bunch of money on national media, and they're just a-holes with their hot takes. I can't stand them.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh. Back to the game.
So we got the interception, and then Tua threw that pretty bad pass that got intercepted. And We were lucky on the penalty. Mm-hmm. And that gave us a chance to recuperate, and then we did get the touchdown.
Yeah, and it was a nice pass to Parker. You know, there was good things to say about it. I loved at this point that the broadcasters brought out something that I was already aiming at, the number one point differential in the league. At least for the fourth quarter, is the Miami Dolphins at that time. Plus 81 in the first quarter.
Yeah, we just...
That's unheard of.
Tearing people up.
That's I mean, as much due to our defense, our opportunistic defense, you know, grabbing the plus six turnover ratio is fantastic. You know, when you're in the plus like that, you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you're not incompetent offense, you're winning.
So then they get the ball, and we our defense again stepped up and just, you know, we stuffed them. I mean, they had nothing going. Yeah. Zero.
I saw Needham, who they were trying to pick on early against Judy, make a great defensive play. Amazing coverage. Just right on Judy, knocking the ball down and making a great play to end that drive pretty much. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but now we're starting to establish, we get the ball back. We're starting to establish something that was ugly. Right.
Three and outs. Three and out.
Two and under pressure, three and outs. Right. Mm-hmm. That offense that we saw for the first half of the season last year, that offense that we saw for the first couple games this year, it was horrific. We couldn't do anything.
And two are getting sacked. Not only pressured, sacked.
Yes. Yep.
Because that's the thing that was that, you know, six sacks, as we said earlier. This is a team that gave up zero sacks the week before.
Before, I mentioned Tua having a couple misses, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's starting to look to me like he's his accuracy that we're so proud of and so excited about is not there today. You know, mm-hmm. I said not terribly accurate so far, and I have more notes going forward. So it's another three and out. And then I thought we lost Ahmed too. Fortunately, he did come back, but not necessarily to the benefit of a W, obviously. So, and then the Broncos get the ball back.
But this is when the Broncos got the ball back, mm-hmm. and they went on this, you know, what was it, like a 6-minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the Broncos,
discovered
I think this whole game flipped.
Yep.
And even though they drove it down the field, 6-minute drive, 7-7, you just felt like this was not our day. And that feeling never went away the rest of the game.
That's right. That's absolutely how I felt. I mean, you mm-hmm. hit the nail on the head. The offense was looking miserable, and the defense, they found the weakness in our defense. Running, taking the ball outside where we could not close off the outside runs. Off tackle, sweeps, pitch outs.
And the way that they were stopping us, too, not only the way they ran the ball on us, they punted. They kicked it off to us, and again they sacked us again.
Yeah.
And again they just went after us tenaciously, and just Tua not delivering, not being able to go through his progressions. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
There's equitable blame to go here. I think this was the offensive line's worst game this season. Would you disagree with me?
Yeah, not at all. I think, like I said, going from zero sacks to six, I mean, that's enormous jump.
I didn't look, but I heard someone else say that every starting offensive lineman gave up a sack.
Well, I can tell you something. It seemed like every drive we were giving up a sack. it felt that way. Like every time we're going out there, they were giving up a sack. It was bad. It just was not a good performance by our offensive line at all.
I know. It really seemed like, you know how when you're watching a boxing match and the boxers kind of the first round will test each other out and look for weaknesses and, you know, try different things. It kind of felt like that Denver was boxing and they took a couple jabs here and tried a couple things there and then, bam, found our weakness and exploited it for the game. And we didn't have any adjustments that were at least obvious to the naked eye. It looked like we still kept trying the same things the entire game.
Yeah, it was just a beatdown. I mean, they didn't really control the clock at us like dominated the line of scrimmage left and right. But when you look at the total numbers of what, you know, the total yardage you know, 459 to 223. We couldn't pass the ball. We couldn't run the ball, and we couldn't stop the pass, and we couldn't stop the run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a formula that's never going to win.
In the story of the game, you know, you said, Tua was sacked, and it was the culmination is yet another three and outs, just making me even now want to throw up in my mouth. It was just hard to watch.
And the turnovers could have easily been 4-1. There was 2-1, the turnovers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It easily could have been 4-1.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's no way you're going to beat any team in the NFL. You can win those games in college. Right. Tua could turn the ball over 4 times in Alabama and still beat Mississippi. But that's not going to happen in the NFL. No disrespect to Mississippi, but I'm just making a hypothetical.
Except for maybe the Jets.
Well, yeah, that's a different story.
They're coming, so we'll have some fun with that.
Boy, are we gonna? That's gonna be interesting. Okay?
So, hang on, get through this game, and we'll have some fun with the Jets.
Guy, let's just fast forward to the second half. The second half was unbearable.
We could say it was a back and forth. So there's still some scoring that happens in the first half. You know, there was a good defensive
field goals,
right? Mm-hmm. Good defensive stop. Great tackle by Baker to prevent them from getting the first down. We get the ball back. Yet another three and out. And here's where I have to make this comment. Throughout all of football history, throughout my entire, at least watching, playing as well, but I can't ever remember calling this play or having it called even when I played, you know, way back when I was a kid. But I've always hated the delayed run. Always.
Just looks like it's a...
Your offensive line is truly amazing and you have that, it form, you know, in such a way that the tackles are giving up ground but still keeping them off the quarterback running back exchange, so that those natural holes open and there's, you know, it's only a 3-man rush or maybe a 4-man rush at most. Everyone is handled, natural holes open. You know, if that's the circumstance, then it will work. Any other circumstance, and it fails every time, and I swear every time we've called it, it has failed. And I do not, this is a message to our offensive corner. Please, please take the delay run out of your playbook and substitute it for something else. I mean, I used to love Dan Marino's shovel pass. You know, you want to get the ball to the quarterback on what's equivalent to a delay, but it's just...
I miss that play. I really love that play.
Oh, yeah, the shovel pass works, man.
So, to Tony Nathan, to Parmalee, to anybody, it worked.
Yeah,
it worked. It seemed like 9 out of 10 times it worked.
You know, there are different types of screens to running backs too. They don't always have to be the swing to the outside. If a running back's getting a man-to-man coverage and a running back is quick, like Gaskin or Ahmed or Breida, they're quick. They can do that. I'm throwing a block, dart up the middle, and then do a quick cut to the outside, pour on their speed, and they're open. Because a linebacker is not going to keep up with them. And it still happens very quickly and can still be a dump-off, a called play even, to get the running back the ball in a different way than some of the just sort of obvious screen or boot-type passes that come. And so, you know, I've been a student of the game long enough to have recognized certain types of play that I'd like to see tried other than the damn delayed run. So, God, that's enough. Okay. That's all I have to say about that. Please, no more.
The hell with that delay run.
Yes. Yeah, it's like Gase in the bubble screen, you know. If we keep going back to it and it keeps failing,
we're gonna
see
that. Are you
gonna
learn
a lesson from it? So
we're gonna see the bubble screen, man.
We are.
But anyway, in the second half, look, in the first half ended, we got a couple of field goals, and it just, you know, you talk about half ending.
I thought we were gonna go in 10-10, and the defense just broke again. I mean, they had hardly any time left when they got the ball and shoom, right down the field they went.
But, you know, this was one of those games. Every team does a stinker. It just happens. The year the Patriots won the Super Bowl, they got stunk. I think it was by Buffalo. I remember one of the years.
Yeah, I always referred that as to, you know. Yeah, it seems like it's always a road game. You go on the road and you lay a turd.
It's a road game. You really got hit. I mean, our offensive line was terrible. Our defensive line was terrible. We got no sacks. the entire game. We gave up six sacks. We should have given up four turnovers. We got one.
Yeah.
It just, the whole thing was just a terrible, inefficient game. Unless you really want to get into the second half, I think we should get right into the meat and potatoes, the benching of Tua.
Let's take a quick look at the notes because okay. I take a lot of notes and sometimes there's some nuggets in there.
Mine are in the trash, but okay, let's go.
I know how emotional you get when we lose, so I'm not keeping these. Yeah.
Hey, there's no point in having it at this point. I've already gave you a thumbnail of what happened.
Yeah. Well, there was an offensive line shift that I was hoping might help us, right? Kinley has the hurt foot. He went out. Hunt mm-hmm. came in. Davis moved over to guard. And sometimes just a change or a little shakeup in that can be a difference maker, you know? Make that subtle difference and have an impact or whatever. And what happened? Just another Tua sack. So it was the same mm-hmm. old, same old.
Yeah, nothing changed.
Yeah. Interesting note is 2 weeks ago, we spent some time talking about Callaway and then never saw him. And so that was a little bit of disappointment of a prediction. I got to give you the credit. You're the one that was really tracking that more than I was. We're both aware. We saw Callaway make an important pass. Catch,
and then disappear again. But yeah,
and then never saw him again.
Okay, you made your cash. Now go sit down. What's good about him, look, they have a short leash on him. They know that he failed, I don't know how many drug tests, whatever, 100. It seemed like he really got a lot of check. This is his last chance. I really love his speed and the fact that he's a young kid still. And him and Tua can develop a relationship. And it'll be exciting if this develops the way I hope it will. To have Tua have someone that they both can grow together. Kind of reminds me of the Marino-Duper situation. You know, they both, and Clayton, mm-hmm. they all those young players develop together. And I see Galloway in that same situation. He's a young man, not a rookie, but basically, you know, sort of a rookie, you know?
Yes.
He really didn't play a lot. Mm-hmm. And now he's a chance to grow, and he's got the speed. Heaven knows he's got the speed. He's a quick player. He's got really good hands. Like to see that develop. And I think we're going to get that chance. I hope it really happens. And
I hope it happens too, but the character problem always worries me. We have a long history of really bad things happen with character people. So
well, but the whole NFL does.
That's true.
Antonio Brown is in there, and they got him back again doing some stupid things. I mean,
but I hate it when it's a Dolphin. I mean, I have extra hate for it. So
I mean, we don't want a Cecil Collins type of event.
Exactly.
Nobody wants that. It's not fun. It's a black eye, and it makes you look stupid. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe this is going to be this situation, and hopefully it's going to work out for us. But,
yeah.
You know, that brings me to the point of wide receivers is because Tua in college, we've talked about this before.
Yes.
Wrigley, Judy, mm-hmm. Ruggs.
Yep.
They're all NFL wide receivers.
Yes.
And reality, they're better than
they're
what we have.
They're all ones and twos. Yes.
They're better than what we have. Okay. I mean, these are really good receivers. And that's what he was playing with in college. We got to get to, I really think that this is where the big difference is going to come. It's us getting a good free agents and good draft next year so that Tua has the tools around him. Because the fact that they're calling him a game manager and all that, that's ridiculous.
It is. It is. This and again, ESPN seems to be the worst of all of them. This isn't really a swear, but I mean, there's just douchebags everywhere that are pissing me off. And ones that got all work. Yeah, and all, the king of the douchebags, and I don't know why he keeps getting up in my face because I never seek out listening to him or his show, but I still end up seeing it anyways, is Greenberg. That guy needs to get
Greenberg.
They mm-hmm. had layoffs at ESPN. Why the fuck didn't they get rid of that asshole? He needs to go work for the Jets. He's a Jet.
Beautiful.
He belongs mm-hmm. with the Jets. He should cover the Jets. He should talk about the Jets. He's a Jet through and through. And
he
then
sucks.
We can just hate him on a normal hate the Jets level and not have to have people like potentially respect him because he's a member of the national media. That guy sucks. He's awful. He's terrible. He has terrible takes. He's just a jerk, and I can't stand him. So he's wrong. And so the Dolphins made a mistake in drafting Tua. This is what he said this week, you know. And other people have said it, and now he's just on the bandwagon after one game. Tua wins three games, essentially. I mean, it wasn't on his shoulders necessarily, but he did what it took, and the team won the game with him. And then, of course, this loss is blamed on him. And so, oh, Herbert's a better quarterback. The Dolphins made a mistake, blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
Herbert has looked great, okay? We can't take that away from the guy. But the reality is Herbert had a chance to play Tua. He looked like crap. He got a garbage touchdown. We went over that game. He has looked really good. He's had a couple of bad games, including ours. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't care about the statistics. That's for loser. He when the game counted, he couldn't move the team. He couldn't score. He didn't do anything against Miami.
Yeah.
And Tua did against his defense.
Yeah.
And so I look at it this way, is that he has Keenan Allen. We've gone over this.
Yeah.
He's got a better tight ends. He's got better running backs.
Yeah, we went over with our Chargers win. Yeah.
We don't have it. Tua doesn't have that. So the question really, you know, when we look at that second half and we look at when they benched Tua, I at the time didn't like it. Yeah, I didn't like it. But you know what? Flores sent Tua a message.
It was a combination of things.
But here's my point on that, Scott. Okay. He sent Tua a message, but it wasn't like he sat there going, I better send him a message now. He was doing what was best. And this is the message that Tua got, in my opinion, is, you know what, buddy? We're going to do whatever it takes to win. This is not about Tua. This is not about you and your development. Mm-hmm. This is about the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
This is about our culture. This is about this team not folding under any condition.
Yes.
And so Tua understands that Flores, that is what we have in our head coach. We have a head coach that doesn't give a rat's of what Greeny is saying, ESPN is saying, what the Dolphin media is saying.
Because that's another thing. He's getting a lot of flack for being a bad coach right now.
Yeah. Well,
for flipping to Tua in the first place and then for yanking him.
Miami has no future with Fitzpatrick.
That's right.
And we saw it again. He should have been intercepted twice. He got intercepted once. And that was in one drive.
Right.
Tua, the entire game, gave up to it. Yeah. Essentially two interceptions.
Well, it sounds like we're nail ragged on Fitz. We both love Fitz.
We love him. He's the answer, man.
He's smart. He's got heart. He's got leadership skills.
He's coaching the kid.
So we love him. We love him. He'd make a fantastic quarterback coach. I keep saying that. I know it's probably not high paying enough for him to consider like something like that going forward. But, man. But, again, right. He's not the future. He's not even the now. He has had a long history of good fits, bad fits, and we've talked about this. And so he has games where he's just good fits, and he's like the hero of the day, running around with a beard flying and throwing the passes and making the connections and scoring. And then the next game, he's just giving up the game, right?
Yeah, he could come in and, you know, 400
with
yards.
With really lousy turnovers at inappropriate times. Consistently.
Staring down a receiver. And
yep.
And that's just something that's crazy, because then it's just not the way he is. But sometimes he looks like the exceptional quarterback, and sometimes he's just the worst quarterback that you've ever seen. And it's the same quarterback. And we can't have that in a team. We got to get a consistency from a quarterback, and a quarterback that will help us get to that next level. And that's Tua.
Yes.
That is what Tua is.
Yep.
And Tua said this on Wednesday. He said, for me, there's no looking behind me or to the left or to the right. It's what I can do to help our guys to be successful.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Leader talk. Like, yep.
Leader, man. Leader. Yep. And I think this benching, it's a good thing, because even though I wasn't jumping up and down when it happened, I was like, man, the Chargers led Herbert in there when he was stinking it up against the Dolphins. And, you know, that's not Flores. I can't compare Flores to the Chargers.
I mean, he's a better coach.
He's a better coach.
I'm absolutely convinced of that.
So. Yeah. So Flores said, you know what? Here's my message. And it's not a message about I'm going to teach you a lesson. It's about, you know what? You're not winning the game. You're not getting us to win. I need to do whatever the hell I need to do to get our team to win the game.
Right. And I think the bottom line of his decision, if I was guessing at what it's like in his head, is like, this team needs a spark on offense.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make this change to generate the spark.
Yeah, and then immediately he went back to saying, because he knows how important Tua is our starter. You know, Tua is our starter, and he did what he needed to do, and he's going to talk to Fitz and tell him, hey, you know what? Thank you for coming in there. We need you again. I'm glad that you're always. I know you're going to be ready, but you know, we need Tua's our guy right now.
Yeah,
and that's what it is.
Yep.
So I think overall it was a great move. I think Tua took it well. And I think the media and all the noise, we got to block all that garbage out.
Yeah.
Because that is just a bunch of talking heads, losers.
The NFL. Fake drama.
NFL.com rated every quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
And I looked at that because thinking, oh boy, you know.
Interesting.
But definitely they're not ESPN. And at the top of the ranks, it's the who we expect. Patrick Mahomes, you know, Rodgers, Wilson, Watson, Josh Allen. I told you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, those are, you know, Kyler Murray, you know, Tannehill. Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
But Derek Carr, you know. And then there's Justin Herbert at 9th.
Hmm.
In front of Big Ben. In front of Lamar Jackson. In front of Tom Brady. In front of Matt Ryan. So you're saying, well, that this guy is ahead of some great guys. But I'm going to tell you who's clipping in at number 20.
How is he in front of them? He's not winning.
Because he's playing better than they are.
He's not winning.
But it's not his fault. I mean, he has put the Chargers in a position to win almost every game except a couple.
Yeah.
And his numbers are crazy. If I start, I could just go into them now with you, but just trust me.
Okay,
ridiculous numbers. He's averaging over 300 yards a game. He's just hitting the long ball, the short ball, everything. But now you look, you know, at Tua, clocks in at 20 rank.
Yeah.
Okay.
He hasn't 20. If you're looking at numbers, Tua doesn't have numbers. The one number that's outstanding is the touchdown passes versus interceptions.
But here's the thing I'm saying. Now, this is Tua's first year.
Yep.
You got guys that he's ahead of.
With no preseason. Well, neither do any of the other rookies.
And with, you know, one fumble loss, basically still no, you know, what the no INTs. I mean, the guy's still very solid, okay? But now you got Baker with 3 years behind him.
Yep.
Jones. With Daniel Jones of the Giants, with 2 years behind them, Alex Smith. Well, you know, Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz, who was, you know, the number one overall. Drew Luck, Joe Flacco, Mullen. Okay, well, the rest is nothing to be. But still, when you're saying that he's number 20, he hasn't played but four games. That's impressive.
It's something. Yeah.
It's something. It really
it's
is something.
It's not something I can get angry or start saying is wrong or, you know. We just need to see him keep climbing up that list.
And he will. I think he will too.
Especially if we, you know, continue to do a little bit better in surrounding him with skill players.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no if, buts, ands. We have to.
Yes. Yep.
No, we have to. We have to get him. We have to get him some wide receivers. We have to get him a real tight end. I'm not sure. Gesicki just what was Gesicki's numbers this game? I mean, again, it's going to be terrible, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I barely remember Tua going his way, but I know Fitz threw to him a bunch of times in his two drives.
Gesicki got 5 targets, four catches for 43 yards. It's not bad.
Were all of them? Yeah, I guess it doesn't tell you which ones were from Fitz and which ones for our team.
I would imagine
you at least 3 of them were from Fitz, if not all 4 of the catches.
I mean, we only had a total of 37 passes, 23 completions. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, not a lot.
In today's NFL, I mean, I just...
Not good
enough.
You
see these guys throw 40, 50, 60 times.
Yeah, you're not going to win a game scoring 13 points. you know?
Oh.
Unless you're playing against the Jets and you blank them. So.
Well, yeah, that's. Yeah, we've got to get into the Jets game.
So, hey, listen, one more comment about the Denver game, because I have a guy who's rising up into my, you know, favorite underdog type player. You know who I'm going to say?
I was worried because
he made a double penalty in the game, and I'm like, oh no, my favorite guy.
That's my boy. Exactly, and who you're going to say? Yes.
And then came right back and made
caused a fumble.
Caused a fumble. I love Andrew Van Halen Ginkle. I love this guy. I love the way he's playing. I love his spirit. I love his tenacity. I love his ferocity. He's out there on special teams. He's out there playing, you know, down linebacker, rushing the passer. Just, you know, I want to see him continue to be in the opportunistic defense going forward. And I want to keep seeing his name.
If he's not causing a fumble, he's causing hell out there.
Yeah, he blocked a punt. He's just
a punt. I mean, he's everywhere. He is becoming one of, I think, my favorite for sure. I just love his all out mortar.
Yeah.
And that's what Wilkins has. I mean, we have players.
He's got the 80s rocker hair. He's got
He's just a lot of fun to watch. And yeah, so listen, this game we could put it off as, you know what? It was a stinker. It was terrible. It happened what needed to happen. But now we have two games coming up that we need to get the ship right. And the hated Jets are our next game.
Gase. Ring the bell, Gase. It's just how he still has a job. How you've made your point already about how you think he's going to keep his job. I can't imagine how that's even a possibility.
I'll say it again. Let me say it again, just in case anybody missed it. Yeah. Gase will not get fired. He's going to keep his job because he's the greatest salesman. I mean, he's the Napoleon Hill. He is the Zig Ziglar of college coaches. I mean, the guy is a genius when it comes to these things. He has sold the Jets the fact, the spill of goods, that he is going to get Trevor, and he's going to bring him in, Trevor Lawrence. Hey, the Jets are going to turn the ship around. They're going to get rid of all these bad apples, many that he brought in or whatever.
Right.
But he's going to get rid of all these bad apples, and the Jets are going to become a contender overnight. And that's what he's done. Because here's the reality on the Jets, okay? We played him the first time, and we kicked their ass 24-0. It was a joke.
Yep.
Okay. Now, let's look at the Jets, and let's say – first, let's say, well, you know, is their offense is bad, right? No, it's not bad. It's horrific. It's the worst offense probably in the history of the NFL.
Right.
They're in that region in a time when quarterbacks, you can plug and play these quarterbacks, it seems like sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You put these guys in and, you know, yeah, oh, well, not a bad day. Mullen just came in and threw two touchdowns for San Francisco in the half. I mean, these guys, quarterbacks, it's a quarterback league. And their team has scored 149 points. 149 points.
Oh, wow.
Do you have any idea, I mean, what that is? I mean, they're averaging.
It is certainly historically bad.
It's historically bad.
Yes.
I mean, the Dolphins.
Record-setting bad.
We're over 100 points. We're 264. And we're not exactly setting the world on fire.
Yeah, with a stinker that we just left on the field. You're right.
Yeah, and we both played 10 games. I mean, there's all this, you know, they had an extra game or we had an extra game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at that, you say, And then you look at who's close to them. You know who's close to them? The Bears. And I've watched the Bears because, unfortunately, I got a couple of their guys in fantasy. And I watch them and I try to say, you know, okay, come on, Bears, score something. And they're the worst offense I've ever seen. And they've scored 191 points on the year. I mean, think about that.
Yeah. The next closest is not close.
It's not close. And then you look at the Jets' defense. Everybody says, well, they have a decent defense. Well, no defense can withstand an offense that's with this much ineptitude. So the Jets' defense is the second most giving up point. Number one is the Cowboys at 318 points.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys have been, I mean, they've been the joke of the NFL, right? Oh, you can run against them. You can pass against them, right?
Right.
I mean, they've been the joke. And these guys have given up 302. So, I mean, basically you have a team that is in the bottom scoring and in the bottom in defense. How the hell are we going to lose to these guys? It's impossible. You can't lose to the Jets. You know, the only thing that they have on us is that they have the greatest salesman coach in the history of mankind, Bug Eye Gase.
I guess that he's got one talent.
He's got one talent.
He sure he's really isn't good. A good coordinator, and he sure isn't a good player development person. He sure isn't good at scheming. The guy is, no. Yeah. And now, here's the thing where I officially am going to disagree with Mr. Alex Hines. That doesn't happen very
You're
often.
You're going to be wrong. You're going
to
lose.
Okay. Well, I'm disagreeing. He has to be fired.
Nope.
He has to be fired.
It
you
will
cannot
not
go 0-4 and keep your job. And he is going to go 0-4.
He's not going to get fired. He's going to stay. And everyone in the world is going to think he's going to get fired. And everybody's going to go, how did he keep his job? And I'm going to start laughing and saying, because he's the greatest salesman ever.
Okay. Well, end of season, we'll see. Because, you know, I don't think it – I think he would have already been fired if they were going to do the midseason thing. And then they're probably just like, you know what? We're in such bad shape right now. Let's just let this ship sink. Let's guarantee that we do get sunshine there, and then we'll find a coach that can, you know, coach up everyone around him. So I think he's gone. I think he's one of the worst coaches that we've ever had. I think he's one of the worst coaches that
the NFL's ever had
that somehow has talked himself into not one but two head coaching positions, and we've certainly over the last couple of years put him through our ringer, and it is at this point just fun. Even though it's repetitive to some degree, if you're a more than once listener, but yeah.
I mean, when you're watching a team and the team has given up 150 some points more than they've scored, that means you're losing, obviously, double digit every freaking week.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not competitive. They're terrible. But
so
anyway,
this is really what this should be is a get well game for us. For Tua, to regain the confidence that we lost when we got beat up last week in Denver.
We should beat them. Solid beat down. I think that the Jets will hang a little bit early on because their emotions or whatever. But, you know, pretty soon the reality will sink in and the coaching will sink in. And they'll make stupid mistakes. I mean, I watch them. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
You know, extra people on the field. I mean, they're the
because
they're bad news.
Here's the thing. I see, like, the fear mongers, even amongst our friends. Oh, no. Denver has provided the blueprint.
The formula. The blueprint.
For how to attack the Dolphins offense and get into his head and beat the Dolphins. And I don't think that's it. I think we did drop a turd.
That's it.
I think we have good coaching. I've been saying it. You've been saying it. We believe in the coaching staff that we have. And I think this week we'll be focused on fixing a lot of those problems and that playing such a bad team will be healthy. I think our defense is going to come out with fangs, dude. I think they're going to just.
Our offense, everybody.
Yeah. This could, you know, I would just love not only to see us skunk them again, but this time just put our foot down on the gas pedal and just keep practicing scoring against them until it's some sickening sort of number.
Let me give you some reality on this game. We love Frank Gore.
We do.
I got pictures with him. You've seen it. I mean, this
and
guy
your son.
Since high school, man, since high school, we were rooting for this kid when he's playing for Coral Gables. The kid is incredible. Went to the U. The guy is unreal. We saw him play but he was at a national championship game. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy is unreal. Great player.
Yes.
Okay.
Outstanding work ethic. The reason that he's in the league so long is his attitude. As much
the guy
as
had
his
two ACLs. Yes. I mean, we've talked about it before. The guy had two ACLs and he's look, the guy's fantastic. Do I want him to be my feature back? No. And that's the feature back that Gase has because he's a freaking idiot.
Yes.
Okay. That's his feature back. He would be a great guy to be your third back. okay? Mm-hmm. Not even the second, your third back. That's a guy you bring in once in a blue moon to spell. But you, I mean, his days are done.
Yes.
And that's what the Jets, that's what we're facing. Then we're facing Crowder. Oh, the great slot receiver. At one reception, 13 yards or something like
that. With our defensive backfield,
should shut him out. Yep. We're gonna know he's their weapon. Shut him out and go ahead. And we don't have to worry about Frank Gore ripping us up. I mean, we should win this game handily.
Is it Flacco that we're going up against?
Yeah, they're saying maybe Donald comes back.
Maybe Donald. It doesn't matter who's back
there. It doesn't matter to me.
Whoever it is going to be, should be running for their life.
Bring freaking Joe Namath. I don't give a damn what you're going to put back there. You are a terrible team. You're a terrible coach. You're a terrible organization. And Miami should kick their behind left and right, up and down the field. To me, that's so black and white, it's not even funny.
Yes. It's a get well game. Get us ready. And unfortunately, the following game, I in saying get well, Joe Burrow.
Because yeah.
That was horrible. And we never want to see anyone get hurt, but especially a kid with such a bright future and so much talent and ability and leadership and just everything that kid represents. And that was a horrific injury, and it's definitely going to be hard to come back from. So you can do it, Joe. And we want to play against you in the future and come back, man.
No, yeah, 100%. We want to see him come back and make a full recovery. That's football, and injury is part of the game. And that's another game we're going to have to, we'll talk after this.
Right.
Next week. But we should handle those guys easily. Looking at the Jets' schedule and what they have done, they've been beaten up by every single team that we have played, of course, because, you know, we obviously play the same division, the same
right.
NFL, NFC West. The Cardinals beat them 30-10. The 49ers 31-13.
What was the final score last week when the Chargers played them? I never saw it.
The Chargers last week beat them 28-34. They were really in that game most of it.
Ugh.
The Chargers defense is terrible.
Yes. Yep.
And they just haven't been able to stop anybody. They almost beat the Patriots the week before, but we saw the Patriots against Houston let us down, those bastards.
What a turd. Another bunch turd. Sunday was such a terrible game day for us, Dolphins fans.
It was just bad. But again, I want to just touch again on your comment that we've all heard it about the blueprint and now they have Tua's number and blah, 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 and all that ridiculousness.
I don't buy it. Yep.
It's 100% Mickey Mouse. Tua is a professional. Flores is a professional. Shan Gailey's a professional. Our whole team is full of professionals that are going to see the mistakes we made. And we're going to correct them.
And we're so young, we're bound to grow from it, especially with good coaching and leadership.
We're going to grow. Yeah. I mean, I'll go back to, I guess the Cowboys had a great blueprint. I talk about two old Dolphins. Back when they beat the hell out of the Dolphins in 1971. and they gave a great blueprint that nobody was able to use next year. So we went undefeated and won the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they kicked our ass that year, okay? The Cowboys did a great job. That whole blueprint thing is ridiculous. You're going to have the same personnel. And I've heard the story. Other teams have better personnel. Okay, well, last time I checked and last time I saw, the Rams were kicking the Tampa Bay's rear end and throwing the ball up and down the field on them like Swiss cheese.
Right, and we beat the Rams, and we shut them down. And it was our defense that beat them, yeah.
Exactly. So bottom line is, this is a team sport, and that game, if you want to put it on Tua's shoulders, go ahead. He's got broad shoulders, but I think any fan that does that is an idiot. This is not Tua that caused this loss. This was a Dolphin loss. It was lost by everyone, including our coaching.
Yep.
Okay? Everyone, every single one. And I have faith, especially in our coaching, that we're going to correct it, and we're going to come back. And we've got the football gods being so friendly by giving us this equivalence of a joke of the Jets, and we're going to beat them.
Get well game, and really probably two get well games in a row. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, these guys. Cincinnati is starting Brandon Allen.
Okay.
That's the starting quarterback we're going to go up against. He was in the practice squad because this Finley guy was so bad. So We're gonna be able to get well, win those two games. That'll put our record at 8-4. Mm-hmm. Just anticipating victory in both.
Yep.
And that puts us smack in the hunt for the playoffs.
Yeah, then we face the Chiefs, but that'll be another episode.
That's
yeah.
another episode, another nightmare. So, everybody, it's a lot of fun. I think we're going to do really well. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're gonna beat, like we said, those two games very handily.
All right, let's tune in and beat the hell out of the Jets this weekend and get a little recovery, both the team confidence and our fan confidence as well, and look forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Again, I hope you had a great one.
Happy Thanksgiving. Two Old Dolphins Podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolphins.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter, where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelita's Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring, because they are the best.
Thank you.